This is Data Citizens Dialogues, your guide to bringing trust to your data, decisions, and all things AI. For Calibra, I'm Thomas Brents. Hello and welcome to Data Citizens Dialogues. As always, I'm your host, Thomas Brents, Calibra's Vice President of Portfolio Marketing. And this week, we have a pretty fun episode of Data Citizens Dialogues, where our own chief data citizen and Calibra co-founder Stan Christensen joins longtime Belgian customer Colruyt Group. Let's listen in, shall we? See what we learn.
Hi, Stan. Thanks for the invitation. My name is Ruben Missine. I'm the data and analytics officer at Colruyt Group. I live in Belgium, just as Stan in the Flemish part. And Colruyt Group is, as we call it, a local hero. We're a Flemish retail organization. We have different brands. We provide groceries towards Belgian households in a rather broad perspective, not only shops, but also food service and other verticals, as we say, within the organization. We have a revenue of 11 billion and have approximately 33,000 colleagues. So a lot of people doing their utmost best to bring simplicity into retail. That's where we stand for. We're a low-cost player. We provide the lowest prices in the market for the Belgian households.
Definitely, and impressive numbers on the organization. You know, as a retailer, I'm sure that the audience has some kind of idea what data is important for a retailer, you know, customer loyalty, for example. You mentioned prices, so maybe data around products or ingredients or suppliers. But rather than me guessing, Ruben, for Colruyt Group, what kind of data is important and why is it important?
We stock a lot of data. We use data in very different ways. As I already mentioned, we're a lowest price player. So we also need the lowest cost in our organization. We are really an operational excellence organization, making sure that we have the most fluent and efficient processes in the market. And if you want to do this in a complex environment such as retail is today with the low margins, then you need to be super efficient and you need data to help the organization in tweaking the processes to it to almost perfection. Of course, also with an 80-20 balance to not go over the top. But that's the first big part. We use data to optimize our processes and the way we work. It's very important for us as an organization. Secondly, it's also about our customers. If you want to be relevant in your market, then you need to know your customers well. So we do the same. It's about looking at the touch points, but also making sure that we collect as much information as possible concerning our customers, so we can provide them with a proposition that is personalized, that is based on their interests. And we stay relevant not only today, but also tomorrow. So those are really two big parts of our data strategy: the customers and the operational excellence, the optimization of our processes. The third one is decision taking. People in this organization take decisions every day. I think we're an organization that has grown big based on intuition, on gut feeling, but today that's not enough anymore. So you need data to put that next to the intuition that is definitely there with our decision takers. But that's also a third domain where we look at to bring data in and help those decision takers in their day-to-day practice. And the last one, the fourth one, is looking at data to monetize it directly. So we also have an information trading office where we look, okay, what is the data we have available and what is the data, for example, suppliers are interested in to buy from us. So four big points of attention when it comes to data, when it comes to collecting data.
So if I can summarize them, one is for efficiency for your operations. Two is things that have to do with the customer. Three is for decisions. And four, and I like that one a lot, is around data monetization. For example, you mentioned exactly. Between you and the suppliers. Oh. And that's actually a topic that I believe a lot of listeners and a lot of data leaders out there are very keen to learn more on. How do you actually monetize data? So we'll unpack that a little bit later throughout the questions, I'm sure. And if anybody is listening who wants to follow up, I'm sure, Ruben, you'd love to answer questions. But let's go into your role. Let's go into your data officer's role, because you're probably set up to spearhead getting value out of that data and making sure that the data asset is taken care of. What is, if any, what is the mission that your data office has been assigned?
Exactly that. How you get value out of the data we have as an organization. You can do it by making sure that you can trade data directly, but you also have the other three topics that I mentioned earlier. The valorization of data, to make this more concrete, we have defined a Colruyt Group data strategy. So we have 10 digital changes, as we call them, digital changes for the organization on how we use data to provide benefits and gains for us, our organization. For example, how we optimize our supply chain as much as possible, finding the right efficiencies, using data to forecast even better what we think we will sell in what kind of shops. We have a forecasting model, an algorithm on a national base, but now we're looking into local forecasting, really on a shop level, determine what is the sales we will do the day after, and so on. So this model already steers our supply chain as we speak. So this is data being used to optimize our internal processes. But we also look at customer data platforms and making sure that we connect with our customers. We segment them. We go into a communication that's personal, that's relevant for them. And those are 10 different changes that are combined in one Colruyt Group data strategy. And it's my job to realize this strategy. This is not a strategy that stands on itself. This is directly linked to the Colruyt Group strategy. In our group strategy, we have also a lot of ambitions and goals. And the data strategy is how is data helping that business strategy of Colruyt Group. So it's the responsibility to steer to make sure that the different organization, because we're a group, we have different operating units within Colruyt. It's making sure that all of those contribute as it should be towards this data strategy and thus also to the strategy of Colruyt Group. That's the biggest part of the job. Next to that, I also lead a service organization within Colruyt that supports all of the operations and getting more and more data-driven. We have data scientists, business BI engineers, we have data stewards, data coaches, and so on. So every operating unit can take the necessary steps in building up their craftsmanship around data, because that's very important. We have a strategy and I have a responsibility to see that strategy, but I'm also a spider in the web. We really want to decentralize data and analytics within Colruyt Group, because this more and more this should be part of doing business, whether it's retail or something else. It shouldn't be right that the 150 people I have in my division are the ones with all the knowledge around data and analytics. You need to have that knowledge where you take decisions, where you need dashboards, where you need your insights, where the pulse of the organization is. And I have a target, I have a KPI to make sure that my organization is as small as possible. The smaller I am, the more craftsmanship the business has, because then we don't need a big centralized organization. Then it's where it belongs. Then the craftsmanship is at the decentralized teams over spread over Colruyt Group. The same goes for ownership on data. For example, customer data, it's not my responsibility, the customer data. It's the responsibility of somebody who takes care of the capability customer. And a part of that capability is building up this data product. These decentralized data products, they are the key. They have to make sure that this product is available and everyone who wants to use this product can grab it and do use cases with it, whether it's data science or dashboarding, doesn't matter. So it's a spider in the web, it's a service organization, it's a data strategy, and it's building craftsmanship for Colruyt Group to get more and more data driven.
Thank you, Ruben, and thank you for summarizing it for me as well, because indeed, You started at a very important point. How does your data strategy fit into the broader business strategy, which requires a lot of collaboration with senior stakeholders all across the group, I assume. But then you also explain how you almost have shock troops, if I can call them like that, that you detach into the business to help with data-specific problems to make sure that people in the business have those insights where they maybe at this point don't have the skills. And it was also interesting that you said it's almost like you're the opposite of an empire builder. You're an empire reducer in the sense that your data organization needs to be as small as possible because that means that as much possible knowledge is with the business themselves.
We're definitely not there yet. We're still 150 people big, but that's the vision and the idea, the way you should approach your centralized organization with data. You have to focus on, if it's possible, then decentralized and bring the knowledge where the business sits.
And why is that so important, according to you, that everyone, and I think you mentioned over 30,000 colleagues, that they're all as data-driven as possible?
As possible, I don't know if it's as possible. They all have to be at the right level of data-driven to do their job and to take up their responsibilities. So it's important for me that you look at who is your stakeholder, who's the audience of the craftsmanship, or what is needed to support them in their jobs. That's something else for an analyst, a data analyst within an operating unit, vice versa, somebody in the shop or a director taking the decisions. They all need data and they all have to be data-driven because if I have 150 people getting benefits out of data, then this has a limit. Then you're only getting value with 150 people. If you can do this with 30,000 people all on their level, then you're really getting value out of data. So a lot of the time I try to explain what we're doing with also a metaphor of a retail organization. What we provide is we want to be a shop. We want to be a marketplace with all small market stands who provide the data. So data on customer, data on stores, on your tickets, data on products. That is very important for us as a retailer, of course. And if we bring this data and we make this available for as much people as possible, then you can gain benefits with as much people as possible. So my job is to make those data sets available, create the environment, put the right people with their market stand within the total marketplace and make sure that customers come by, look at the data, get inspired, get ideas on use cases and stuff like that. So we really want to do data with a lot of people.
I agree. In my view, data leaders, somebody in your position, they're not necessarily successful by having the bestest, mostest, whatever data, but rather by making sure that the hearts and minds of all the folks in the organization, all the colleagues are one, right? That they all have the information that they need, like you said, for things they have to do, but also to give them ideas for new things or better ways to work. Now, let's talk a little bit about problems, Ruben. What roadblocks, what challenges drove you to do this and drove you to maybe put something like that marketplace in position?
Roadblocks, more than enough. I think it's not always easy what are the opportunities and the possibilities of data are. It's sometimes very conceptual and it's not easy to know, okay, where does the value lie? And I think we spend too much, I know we spend too much time, as we call it, beneath the hood, beneath the surface of the water, building an environment where all the data can come together and we have we call it a data reservoir, where we integrate all of the operational data into one analytical environment. We have Power BI and Tableau, and we have building up craftsmanship for specialized roles within the organization, making sure that the pipelines were there. But it's all under the hood. That's not bringing value to our business partners. So I think with the data strategy and the last year, we really switched the focus from bring craftsmanship to Colored Group towards helping the business do data use cases and create value with what we have. And that switch, we made that switch a little bit too late, because when you're under the hood, nobody, you don't getting a vibe, all of the hearts in the same direction as you already mentioned. That's more difficult to create that kind of atmosphere when somebody is just fixing the pipelines and doing stuff that nobody notices, but are absolutely crucial to be data-driven as an organization. I always thought, this is not working yet, so we only gonna go to our internal partners when everything is perfectly set up. Don't wait for the perfect setup. Start with what you have. And we did that a little bit too late. So if I should do it again, then that would that should definitely be something I would focus more on value creation sooner.
Not just under the hood, but also out there with your stakeholders to understand their problems.
Absolutely.
And of course, I mean, I know this problem, right? You want to have something which is already great and perfect before you go to somebody. But in the end, something can only become perfect by looking at their needs and then iterating together on it with them. Yeah. Yes.
Well, so you need to focus on a lot of levels. You have to. You need data. Qualitative data, you need the tools and the platforms to handle data, you need the support and the service organization at a level where they really help your business partners, and you need the maturity with your business partners at the right level that they know what are our requirements, what do we need from data, and you have to grow in maturity all together. It doesn't, you can have the best platforms, if your business has no maturity of no craftsmanship, then it doesn't work. So I think that's the biggest challenge as a big organization, is how you grow those things together. And when is the right moment to connect the different dots and really go for that value creation mindset.
Right. That craftsmanship and maturity level is a topic that came back a few times. And it's true what you said earlier, right? Data is very often a very abstract concept for many people. They often look at it as a silver bullet that has, or a magic eight ball that has all the answers. But then the people who actually have to work with data, the under the hood stuff, they realize, okay, how messy and dirty it can actually get. So there's a gap to cross there. And I assume that's the topic of data literacy that is probably often mentioned in your organization and with your colleagues. So you mentioned it earlier, that gap and growing together. Is that why a topic like literacy is so important to you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's exactly that, closing the gap. And you can have the best support team, but you also need the knowledge of your business partners to know we have a certain goal, a business goal in our organization. And you have to be aware that data can help and what kind of services can help to reach this kind of target and this certain change that you want to put down in your organization. That also acquires knowledge of how data can help with your business stakeholders. So that's absolutely literature. Making sure that it's all aligned and we know from each other what can we ask, what do we provide, and people understand the way data works. That's one of the biggest challenges of the last years, I assume. Absolutely.
Maybe for some color for myself and as well as the listeners, if we unpack data literacy a little bit, I'm just going to think out loud. You know, are you teaching everybody SQL? Are you showing people, you know, this little airplane with bias, the survivorship bias or other types of bias? Or are you teaching them that pie charts are bad and bar charts are good? Are those examples of literacy that you come across as you touch your stakeholders?
We have a number of trainings that we provide to our business stakeholders, to data analysts, to people really involved into the data analytical tools. We combine them in a data and analytics academy, as we call it internally. So the training part is definitely one piece of the puzzle. But in a lot of cases, training is just for a small amount of value when it comes to gaining craftsmanship. The biggest part is doing things together. So we organize hackathons, for example, with the data scientist, the business stakeholder who comes in with a problem, somebody from IT, multidisciplinary teams, they write themselves down to come in on a hackathon. We have 15, 20 teams, and in one day they provide a data solution. If you can do that on one day, then your business stakeholder gets much more aware of what are the possibilities of data and analytics are. Then you send him over to a course where a full day he just sits and listens to, you should use this, NoPy, but this kind of visualizations and stuff like that. So we really focus on doing things together. Okay, you have a data strategy, or you have a strategy as an organization. Let's look for the right kind of indicators to follow up to make it smart. And you do this together with the management team. So that's also something, if you define your indicators together, yeah, then you can analyze them afterwards because you know what they mean, you know what they support being that or that goal. So it's really about co-creating and working together with the specialists on data and the business stakeholders. Yeah, I think that's an important part of our approach.
So part of the literacy approach is indeed certain targeted trainings, but part of it, if I understand you correctly, is also put a piece of pizza on the table and put the groups together and say, okay, let's work this out, let's figure this out. So everybody's sort of learning together by and while doing.
Yeah. And we are, for example, we have different service centers in our data and analytics organization, the central organization. We also have data and analytical coaches. Those coaches support the organization. Okay, what are the next steps? How you can grow in getting more and more data driven? So that's a role that just is focused on coaching the business and what are the next steps to take concerning regarding the data.
I might, you know, feel like I might sound like I'm plugging Colibra a little bit, right? So, but here we are. If you look at the software, the platform, are there specific capabilities that help you achieve this literacy or help you align with those stakeholders?
You mean Colibra, but also other tools and other parts of the data landscape
that is in your stack, we have. Of course.
I think it does. It's important to pick the right tools based on the craftsmanship and the integration you have with the other IT landscapes and platforms you have as an organization. For us, we started working with, we did a big initiative some years ago to put down that data reservoir I already talked about, that analytical environment where everything gets integrated. So you create the possibility to put down one common brain for your organization. All of the customer data and product data and store sales data, all of the data is integrated in one environment where people can, through as much self-service as possible, get the data out and start using it. For us, Colibra was the top of the pyramid, the last stone that you put down, because this gave us the opportunity to really start managing everything that was within that data environment, going from operational system through this centralized environment to reports and dashboards and all of the ways we use data to create value. Now we really can not only manage our systems and our tools, but also manage how everything flows within these kind of environments. And that's not only important for us as an organization. We need this because we need to have reliable data to go to our customers, to optimize our processes, to take the right decisions. The quality is important. We have to be sure that what we provide is the truth and it gives a realization of a vision on what is happening. But it's also important for a lot of compliance reasons. Within Europe, we're rather strict on something. So it's about confidential data and everything around competition law. Make sure that data is strictly foreseen that these kind of people can have access to the data. It's about sustainability. Sustainability is one big data challenge to make sure that your reports that you need as an organization, the data in there, the lineage, everything that's happening with data, you need to be able to show and make it auditable for external parties to show how you're handling CO2 or all of those other targets on sustainability. So it's about competition law, it's about sustainability, but it's also about AI and the whole AI Act and making sure that when you use data in AI models, then it also has to be transparent. And we will be more, the legislation is getting more and more strict around those kind of teams. So you really need those kind of tools and platforms to gain maturity and be sure that you are compliant with all of those different laws.
Ruben, you know, you mentioned Europe, but my experience is that all geographies in the world, they all have their own different rules, more or less, faster or slower, more teeth on the tiger, more bigger fines, but we all have our specialties, I would argue. And if I summarize what you said a little bit, then there's two words that come up for me. That's transparency on the one hand, and that's trust as very important topics. And then, of course, I marked my bingo card because the word AI did fall.
Sorry.
We'll pick on that a little bit as well. It's fine. I mean, it's a big topic in the market. It's a big disruption. But before we go there, maybe let's talk a little bit about other changes or priority shifts or lessons that you've learned. You've already mentioned one earlier where, you know, you went from under the hood to focusing on the stakeholders more. But are there other lessons, if you look back at your journey and if you look forward, other lessons that you can share with us, focus more on this, less on that, that the audience might learn from?
I think it's important to have a proper setup. The stone at the end of the pyramids with the catalog and making sure that you for us that worked well, because everything then came together and it all got linked to Colibra and gave the overview. The marketplace is also, there was also we need some place to visualize what we have as an organization on data, to make it very transparent indeed, what is available, to inspire organizations, and so on and so on. So that was also a big milestone in our journey. And I know it's data, and it's in a lot of places linked with IT and technology. But for me, data is an absolute people business. You need the right craftsmanship. You need good data scientists, BI engineers that know their job, that provides the organization with the right tools and setup. So a DNA coach, data analytics coach, as we have them, that really feel the pulse of an organization, and it's their craftsmanship in coaching teams and organization that really makes the difference. So for me, the stronger the team is, the bigger the mountain you can climb. Absolutely. So it's also about people in a lot of cases. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the regularly used phrases there, I believe, is that data is very much a team sport, right? Mm. Because in the end, data is about insights, and there's no insights without interpretation, and interpretation is made by and for people, even in this AI world.
Absolutely.
But poking on topic a little bit more, the AI topic that is, has that, you know, we're about 18 months into this disruption, I would say, so has that made any significant changes to your approach or maybe to your strategy that you can think of or that you're maybe still thinking of?
I don't think so. I don't believe so. And it's you talk about the Gen AI part, because AI, we're doing AI for quite a while with the forecasting and all of those kind of models that just from the advanced analytics. But when it started creating content, of course, it's got more and more interesting. But it's the opportunity of, it's top of mind in every business household nowadays, but it's also an opportunity to get them back to, if you want to create value with these kind of new technologies and disruptions, then you really need good, proper qualitative data. So it rather strengthens the message of the last couple of years than we need a new approach. And of course, we're heavily focusing on what Gen AI can provide for our organizations. We're looking at chatbots and an AI assistant supporting our customers when they want to do groceries online, and so on and so on. So we have lists and numerous use cases. We have built up a reference architecture to make sure that we can create value, and we can really industrialize Gen AI use cases as fast as possible. which we're already doing. The team is set up. The knowledge is available. With those teams, we're having info sessions and trainings for business stakeholders on GenAI to create use cases. We're working on a training to help them prompt themselves more and more. So it's a big point of attention, of course, for a data analytics team with GenAI, but it's absolutely the opportunity to also take the step back and look at the importance of your data, structured and unstructured, in making sure that that the AI model provides you with the right information and not some kind of hallucinations based on wrong data.
Absolutely. You mentioned the word truth earlier and trust. So, whatever technology widget humanity will come up with, those things will always remain important. And thank you also, Ruben, for calling out the difference between quote unquote old AI, the machine learning, you're probably using that for price setting and a whole bunch of other things, versus quote unquote the new AI, Gen AI, right? Both have their uses. I think the last one is also interesting because, in a way, what it does through that new interaction mechanism, the large language model is a sort of representation of world knowledge, if you will. And I do believe that it can help level up people's ability to interpret data or to play with it easier. So in that sense, there's an interesting future ahead in data for sure. As they sometimes say, if you're in data, you're going to have a good time, right? But let's keep looking forward, Ruben. If you look forward for the next couple of years, what are your goals that you have ahead? If there are ones that we haven't touched on, maybe, and maybe how will you measure whether you're making progress towards those goals? And I know that oftentimes in data, we like to, it's hard to measure, quote unquote, the value of data and so on and so forth. But if we are to be good data people, we should also measure ourselves in that way, right? So what kind of goals and what kind of measurements are you applying to your teams?
The first one is rather simple. The poster here after me is our data strategy with our 10 digital changes. And they're all made smart. We have indicators, we have targets within a year, within 3 years. Are we creating value with data? Yeah, that is the focus. It gets monitored, and we report every 3 months to our direction committee and how we are progressing with that cohort group data strategy. So this is for me the main focus. But it's not only about outcomes. It's also indeed about the craftsmanship of your people. How many people are following trainings around data and getting more data driven? What's about the maturity level of your organization? We have a maturity model. Every organization get measured every year on their there are 5 levels how you're growing, but also about the number of ROI you're realizing with your data analytical use cases. We have a service organization. The only thing they do a lot, but they provide support and use cases for our business partners. What are the benefits all combined of all those use cases we're doing for our business partners is also something we're measuring. It's not easy to determine the part data has within a business change, but we try as much as possible to make it very concrete so it can get summed up. I think it's necessary for an organization to give it back to the business. Look, if you look at all the use cases we're doing around data, this is the amount of money we created, we saved, you name it, but on that level, all right, it's cost money. Hey, big environment around data, tools around data, that isn't free. But if you bring in the ROI, then your business also gets more and more enthusiastic to do more and more with data. So it's about different things: the strategy, the craftsmanship of people, the craftsmanship of your organization, the usage of your tools. Today we have, I think, 350 active hours that we work in Colibra each month. That's with 800 people and with 20 of them being very active. We want to bring those very active until 50. We want to, you put your targets down and you look how the adoption and how you keep on growing the tools that are supporting the organization and getting more and more data driven. But those are the means and the platforms, the processes, the people and the organizations and the craftsmanship. it should result in a data strategy that gets realized. So that is, for me, focus number one, making sure that those 10 changes get done.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And your point about adoption and number of people, ultimately, that's my personal view. It's 33,000, right, of data citizens that somehow need to participate or take up certain data responsibilities in some way. But I like what you said about, you know, you have goals and metrics, specific targets, KPIs, metrics that you have. You also have measurements around, I love how you keep talking about the craftsmanship, right? So the, if you will, the skills of the individual, but also the maturity level through a framework of the organization. And then the last bit about value or ROI, so important. So important. You know, sometimes I make the metaphor, Ruben, when a tree falls in the woods, does it make a sound, exactly. Right? Yeah. So when a data product like a dashboard sits there not being seen, does it make an impact on the business? No, of course not, right? But it does come with a cost and it does come with a risk, because it sits there, you know, using data or having data stored there, it becomes a risk factor as well. Mm-hmm. And I think if you are in the data profession, if you are to be serious about data as an asset, then accurate measurements of cost, but also value, ROI, as you say, are inevitable, even if they are sometimes hard to make. I think that's how the other professions, be it CFO or chief people officer or CIO, that's how they became more serious as a profession, by, you know, being easier, being measurable, mm-hmm. If you will.
You always start with a belief that data can help the organization, but you don't go with only belief for 5, 6, 7, 8 years. You need to bring benefits to the table. So the faster you can determine and make it very concrete, that ROI, the easier it goes to convince the organization about the needs and the possibilities of data and analytics.
Thank you for championing that as well, Ruben, in your organization and throughout this forum, also through the broader industry, because I'm of the strong belief that this data monetization topic is very important. We did already talk a little bit about AI. Anything else you want to add to your, you know, what's the data office going to look like in 5 years? Is it going to be down to nobody because it's disseminated in the organization, or is that too extreme?
I think that's a little bit too extreme. That's just a little bit over the top. I think you always need a team on central level that does the steering governance, that looks at what are the new innovations, what do we need to bring into the organization on new craftsmanship and things like that. So that we will always, I hope we will always have a strategy to look how data can help Colruyt Group. So I have to follow up and monitor and manage those kind of things. So you need a team, you need a centralized team, but it doesn't have to be as big as it is today. And a big part of the next coming year, you also mentioned it's transparency, but trust. As Colruyt Group in Belgium, you have some reputation inquiries. We're one of the most trusted brands in Belgium, in our country. We like to keep it that way. So I think, yes, AI and Gen AI can have a huge impact on how do you do business, how do you go into interaction, what are the services you provide to your customer. You really need to do it on a way that it's not Big Brother. It has to be. People, they need to keep on trusting you. And it's not because we say we are trustworthy, it's because we act upon it. So we have already a data security and privacy board within the organization that looks at the use cases. We have an AI policy. Every project team that is using Gen AI has a checklist. If there are risks, then we have an AI advisory team that checks these kind of use cases. If they're not sure, it goes to the board and stuff like that. So you really have to, you have to manage those kind of new ways of working, that opportunities, so that you don't make any mistakes through those mostly there are opportunities, but you have to handle them properly. So we really put the focus on trust and ethical behavior of data as well.
Absolutely. I mean, that is what, you know, going the distance means when it comes to data, not just getting the value out of it, but also considering the ethical aspects of it.
And this will be a big part of what we as a central organization around data will have to do also the next couple of years. Yeah.
Definitely. And trust is easy, you know, is hard to build, easy to lose, of course. And I was just kidding about, you know, not being needed anymore, because of course, if you look at the last 10 years alone, there's been so many technology changes in data, and the next 10 years are not going to be different. So there's always going to be a role for data people, data craftsmen, and even more important, data leadership.
Absolutely.
On that note, Ruben, this has been a great conversation. I feel like there's a lot more that we can unpack and that we can learn from each other. But maybe to close up, do you have a one-liner and maybe, you know, in its worst case, a three-liner of advice that you want to leave to the audience?
Maybe two things. The first thing I already mentioned, go for value, not knowledge, and know where when to switch. So go for value as fast as possible. I think that's very important when you take up a central responsibility around data analytics. And the other thing is that create ownership and empowerment around your data products on a decentralized way. Use those data products to create value and don't become your own story's bottleneck. Make sure that I hope that people who provide data and people who consume data, they get to find each other. Okay, we provide a marketplace and the place where they can interact, but make sure the job is on them to, I need this kind of data. I can provide you this kind of data. Let's set up a dialogue on how we can help each other. If everybody looks at Ruben for their data or for their use cases, then me and the team will be the bottleneck. And that's not the place, I think, where you want to be. If you want to broaden the value creation, then you have to empower people and create literacy around the teams. Yeah.
We've heard it loud and clear. Ruben, thank you very much for sharing your insights.
My pleasure.
I really appreciated it. Very insightful. Loved all the aspects about craftsmanship, literacy, trust, transparency, and monetization. Thank you very much and have a nice day.
You too, Stan. Bye-bye.
Man, I always love listening to Stan talk to our customers. He's joined a few of our episodes already this year as our interviewer, especially when the speakers go way back, which was the case here. Now, as always, I like to give you my big three things that I learned while listening in. First and foremost, if you've been listening to the pod thus far, you know I love a good analogy, and we had a great one here. As a CDO, you need to be the spider in the web, but remember, the web is more important than the spider. Decentralization is crucial to any successful data strategy. They want the data office to be at the center of the data strategy, so the spider. But also, they want the entire organization, the web, to be data literate so that the whole business can truly be data driven. And I loved how Ruben shared that he actually has a metric in place to force themselves to remain small and nimble, thus putting the emphasis on the web and not on the spider. All right, second point. Training is only a small piece of the puzzle. Doing things together is what really makes a company literate. Ruben acknowledges the value of training. At Colroy Group, they have a data analytics academy where employees can go to learn more about data and analytics. However, Ruben believes training is only part of the equation. The real progress comes from doing things together, like hackathons, where they bring teams from across the organization together to solve a problem. Lastly, AI is further validating the need for quality data. Colroy Group has been using AI for quite some time now with forecasting and advanced analytics, but Ruben notes that we're in a particularly interesting time with the rise of generative AI. This rise in Gen AI is a great reminder that we need to get back to our roots. And if you want to gain value from these new kinds of technology, you really need good, quality, trustworthy data. team. I couldn't have said it better myself. If you're gonna have trust in your decisions, you need to trust your data first. Now, to each of you, thanks for listening. Thanks for spending some of your precious time with me. I look forward to catching you on the next episode. And for Calibra, this is Data Citizens Dialogues, and I'm Thomas Sprentz. Thanks for listening. Want even more insight into managing your data? Visit calibra.com/podcast for additional resources on the topics covered in our show. Be sure to follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Enjoy what we have to share? How about a 5-star review? At Calibra, we absolutely appreciate your support. Data Citizens Dialogues is a production of Calibra in collaboration with Stories Bureau.